Hello everybody, welcome back to the Kiwi Gardening Podcast with DIY Plant Man. So exciting to be back again and being able to record another podcast episode for you guys. In this episode, as we come to the end of summer, I want to kind of tell you what you should be getting ready for winter, and then also I'll just be telling you what I'm up to in my garden. Before that, I just want to quickly tell you that I've got something exciting coming up. Now, on Instagram, I messaged a few people and I asked them if they'd be able to share their story of how they got into gardening. So these are people doing similar things to what I'm doing in my garden, but I thought it would be nice if you guys heard different people's experience. So I've got a few people lined up and I'll probably do two episodes on that with them. Once again, if you guys listen to the previous podcast with Libby, it will be a kind of similar setup to what I did with her. So I'll just get them to record them answering some questions that I've given to them. And you can get to know some fellow gardeners and hear some different experiences, which is awesome. I think the thing I'm most excited about is hearing the occupations that each of them do and the fact that they're not actually gardeners by trade, but that they have their regular job and then gardening is a side thing. So it's quite cool to hear, you know, regular folks doing awesome things on the side. And this is all thanks to some of my listeners who suggested, why don't I get some fellow gardeners on the show and get them to tell their story and how they got into gardening. So yeah, I'm really excited about these upcoming episodes. Definitely watch out for those. But before that, let's dig into this episode and work out what we should be planting, what we should be pulling out, and what are some bits and pieces we should be doing at the end of summer. Now, as you all know, I love using mulch, and at the end of summer, we have a lot of material that is spent. So you get your tomato plants, they're probably almost finished producing tomatoes about now, or maybe over the next month. You'll also have all your other fruiting plants, like your beans, your cucumbers, and a bunch of flowers and other bits and pieces that have come to the end of their life. Now, what you want to do is you want to use that material to your advantage. It's easy just to rip it out and then not really find a use for it. But what I like to do is I like to chop it up into about 5 centimeter pieces, about an inch, and chop that and put it back into your garden. This over time will help your soil improve. It'll also provide a home for the worms and food for the worms and other microorganisms. And then what it will also do is it will help keep the soil a little bit warmer in the winter time, and it will stop the rain from beating down on your soil and compacting it. There's just so many benefits to doing this. When you come to the end of your season and the end of a crop harvest, then this is what I would do. Now, the only time I wouldn't do this is when you have a disease or a really bad infestation of an insect or something. Now, what I'd advise you to do with these is either get rid of them, or you can compost them. If your compost gets hot enough, it can actually kill the disease spores and stuff like that. If you have a big compost that you're not going to be using in a while, I mean, that's probably a better option than keeping it on the soil. So that's a little bit for the mulch side of things. One thing I actually probably should have talked about before the mulch side of things and how to use the dead plant or, you know, the finished plant, I probably should have talked about some ideas of what you can do with the produce that you have. Because right now it's probably like you probably have so much produce, probably so many tomatoes, so many chilies and capsicums and all those type of things. And if you've got too many, you can wonder what to do with them. So something that I've been really bad with in the past is, you know, utilizing things like pickling and storing things for the winter. Because, you know, if you go and buy tomatoes in winter, you know you're going to spend a lot of money, and what you could have done is just freeze them or chop them up and bag them and freeze them. And this can save you a lot of money, and also the produce is probably better anyway because it's not grown in a greenhouse and, you know, using all those synthetic fertilizers and sprays. The one thing though is that a frozen tomato won't taste as good as a fresh tomato, but if you're using it for like pastas or some other dishes, like a mince dish, like a bolognese or something, frozen tomatoes are perfect. So make sure that while you've got a lot of produce now, you're saving it for the colder months when it's harder to actually buy it from the supermarket. Also, if you have a lot of zucchinis, then what I'd do is I'd chop them up into little cubes and then put them inside a cup and then put the 1 cup of zucchinis inside a bag so that you know each bag is about 1 cup of zucchinis. And then if you use a recipe and it says 1 cup of zucchinis, you know, just grab 1 bag out of there, make it very simple for yourself instead of defrosting too many or too few. So that's the zucchinis. Things like cucumbers and chilies you can pickle. Now there's some very simple pickling recipes online, and recently I actually pickled my first bunch of jalapenos and some non-spicy chilies. And that was an awesome way to utilize the big harvest that I had. And I'm really excited because I almost have enough chilies again to do another lot of pickles. And this is a great way to store them and for them to taste amazing still. Another thing I do is I just also just freeze whole chilies, and they come in handy when you want to just put them in a dish. But yeah, I know some of you won't be into growing and even eating chilies because of how hot they are. But, you know, even if you have some non-spicy chilies, I do the sweet banana chili. That's like a yellow chili, and that's not that spicy at all. It's actually pretty much capsicum, but it's the shape of a chili. I just freeze these whole as well, and I just use them when I need them, so it's pretty simple. One reason why I'm really into freezing stuff right now is basically the fact also that recently my wife and I decided that it would be quite convenient to have a chest freezer, so we bought the smallest chest freezer that we could find, and it's been an amazing way to utilize that space and be able to save homegrown produce, because before this we just had the freezer that comes attached to the bottom of the fridge, and you know, it's only 2 drawers worth, and you know, you put a bit of ice cream in there and some other bits and pieces, and then it's full. This is the first year I've actually been able to utilize what I've grown in the garden for multiple seasons. Now, that was just some quick tips on what you can do with your produce. Now, if we go head back outside, we'll take a look at our plants again. And you'll notice before that I told you to chop up your tomatoes, your cucumbers, zucchinis and stuff like that, but I didn't tell you to chop up your chili plants. If you have chili plants, you can actually store them over the winter so then they can produce chilies next year and you don't have to grow them from seed. Now, last year I tried to do this, but I was too lazy and I didn't really put them away from the cold weather, like frosty weather, and they got a couple hits of frost and that definitely killed them. So this year I'm not going to be so lazy, and I'm actually going to be on top of these, because I feel like having massive chili plants at the beginning of the season is going to, you know, troubleshoot a massive amount of time. Now, if your chilies are inside your raised bed or in the ground, you might want to dig them up and put them into a grow bag, or you can make like a little tent thing around your chili plant. Otherwise, if we're talking about having them in the grow bags, what we want to do is we want to move them into a place where they will be shaded from frost and like really cold winds. You just want to keep them a little bit warmer, and if you've got like one of those little mini greenhouses or something, that's probably a perfect scenario. Otherwise, what I'm thinking of doing is leaving them where they are and then making it like a little cloche tent thing on top of them using that fabric that you can use to protect them from frost. Now, as I said, I did fail at this last year because I was too lazy to actually move them or cover them when it was really cold weather. So this year, I'm just going to be trying again. So I'm not an expert at this, but I do know the principles and the idea behind it. So I will definitely be giving it a go this year, and you guys will be the first to know if it works or not. So what I'll do with them, though, I'm going to chop them down because right now they're about just over 0.5 meter tall. And once they've stopped producing the chilies, I'm going to chop them down. But make sure that you've got some leaves down there and stuff. Don't just chop it back down to the main stem where there's like no growing points. But I'm going to do that just to keep them a little bit smaller. So I'll pretty much just be removing all the soft, lush growth on the top, because it will probably be the first thing that's going to die in the frost anyway. So yeah, guys, I hope that's helpful for you guys. And if you've grown chilies and you want to give this a go, I really hope this is some valuable advice for you guys. Okay, now moving to another topic, I just wanted to share with you an update on one of the new plants I'm growing in my garden for the first time this year, and that plant is the loofah plant. Now, I've never grown this before. As I said, it's kind of grows similar to a cucumber, so it's growing up my bamboo trellis that you guys might have seen on my Instagram, my DIY trellis, and it's growing really well. In fact, it's growing way too big for the trellis, and it's just going everywhere. And I've got a loofah on there that's longer than my arm, which is awesome. And what the idea of this loofah is that I'm going to let it dry on the vine. So it looks like a cucumber, like a long-ass cucumber. And I'm going to dry it on the vine once it's fully mature. And then in the inside, it has fibers. And the fibers are the loofah sponge that you can buy to use in the shower. So I'm really excited about that, and most people think that those fibers actually come from something from the ocean. Yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to grow my own, you know, products that I can use in my house. This the first time I've grown this, and I'll keep you guys updated and definitely share some photos of the progress on how that goes. Now, I didn't start that from seed this time because I just saw a seedling at Bunnings and I thought I'll just buy one and give it a go. But next year, if this works really well, I might use the seeds that I collect from the loofah from this year and then germinate them and then grow a plant from, obviously, the loofah seeds that I have from this year. It's really cool being able to use your own seeds where you can because they kind of adapt to your environment. So yeah, saving seeds can really be a valuable thing at this time of the year as well. Okay, so that was pretty much talking about the end of summer, what we do with our plants that are left over, and what ones we keep, what ones we chuck away. Now, the next thing is, what do we plant for autumn? Because a lot of people actually think that this time of the year we can't really plant anything, but it's a whole new world, guys, and there's so many things you can plant. You'll probably notice in the middle of summer that your leafy greens probably went to seed really quickly, and that they either got burnt or they withered really quickly. Well, now is the perfect time to be planting things like your lettuce, spinach, and other leafy greens. It's also a perfect time to plant your colder herbs that like tolerating colder weather. These would be your corianders and your chives. So you've got garlic chives and then you've got your standard chives. I've actually started to plant my chives, which I'm so excited about because I love chives, especially the flat-leafed ones. The awesome thing is that they've all started to come up already, and I've planted those in my Birdie's raised bed, you know, that round bed that you see in my garden. So I've literally filled that with garlic chives, and then at the back I've done spring onion. So I didn't mention that, but yeah, spring onion is a good thing to plant now, and leek. You can also plant radishes as well, and your kales, your pak choys, and all those other hardy plants. Now, I'd just be a little bit cautious though, as we are still getting some really hot days. So what I would suggest is that you plant all these into seedling trays, unless your garden is quite shaded, and then I would wait another month or longer before you actually start directly sowing in your garden. Because if you plant things in your garden, like lettuce seeds and stuff like that, they might not germinate as well. So I would just recommend doing them in seedling trays and then transplanting them out a little bit later. However, one thing you want to be mindful of if you're growing things like the radishes and the carrots, they're really not that good if you transplant them because they get these fibrous roots if you put them in trays. And then if you transplant them out, because you want to get like one solid root, I always find that when you transplant them, you get like a couple roots, or they kind of get root bound in the pot, and then you never really get a proper sized radish or carrot, or you know, you get an odd shaped one. So that's my suggestion. I would wait and hold off before planting carrots and radish, even though radish wouldn't mind if you planted them now. But for carrots, yeah, just wait a little bit longer, maybe another month, and then directly sow those into your garden beds. If you are sowing your seeds in trays like I suggested, the cool thing is that you have 6 weeks or so before those seedlings are ready to be planted out, maybe even longer. And during that time, you can prep your garden, you can organize where you're going to put things, and you can also amend your garden bed. So you can add things like blood and bone. You can use like a powdered one and mix that into your soil, or just put it on the top and water it in and let it, you know, penetrate into the soil. A lot of the plants that you produced over the summer months have sucked a lot of nutrients out of the soil. And even if you put mulch on the top of the soil, it will take a while for it to break down. So it's important to put a couple extra nutrients in the soil. I would try to stay away from the synthetic stuff, as this could burn off your microorganisms and it can just be too high concentrate for them. So I'd stick to things like blood and bone or the fish meals and seaweed emulsions. You can easily find those in your garden centers, so don't worry about that. I would spray the whole garden with it, pretty much all the places where you're going to be planting new plants. And then also, once your seedlings have popped up, once you've planted them in and they've started to take root, then I'd probably do it again, but I'd use a liquid form to actually get them going and producing roots, so then they can establish themselves and then find nutrients elsewhere in your soil. Because it kind of makes sense, right? If you're using a powdered form, so if you're using a blood and bone powdered form, it will take a little bit longer for the plants to be able to access the nutrients, as it needs to be broken down just a tiny bit. Whereas the liquid fertilizer is something that has available nutrients pretty much straight away. So the problem is, if you're going to use the liquid fertilizer now in your garden without having anything in it, it will probably leach through your soil, and then it's probably won't be in the soil when you plant your plants. So if you want dark green foliage and healthy plants, this is one thing that I would definitely suggest for you guys. Now, lastly, before I go, I just want to say, if you are directly sowing any seeds and you have a lot of mulch in your garden, I would kind of remove it a little bit, so then the seeds don't have to push through a whole bunch of mulch. This way your plants will be stronger, as they won't be as stretched, because what happens is, if it's too dark down there, they will just keep growing longer and longer to be able to find the light. So yeah, just make sure that if you want strong plants, that you have the soil more exposed just a little bit, and then once they have germinated and you've got a strong seedling there, then you can just push that mulch back up against the plant and protect it and keep it a bit more warm with that mulch. So with that said, guys, this is the end of this episode. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, we will be doing about 2 episodes with people sharing their story as gardeners. I'm really excited that I can actually provide you guys with new resources and new ideas and ways that people do their gardening, because obviously my way is not the only way. And I hope that hearing their story and being able to find these new people, maybe you can find them on Instagram afterwards and follow their journey as well. However, for this episode, that is all. So I will say goodbye, and I hope to have you all here again for the next episodes. So thanks for listening, guys.